putting yourself out there and being a friendly face and being professional, even though you're a young rider, is something that they really appreciate.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
Hey, Karen, do you know what today is?
It is International Podcast Day.
Happy International Podcast Day, everybody. So, very exciting.
Yeah, it is.
For us podcasters out there in the world and podcast listeners. So, we just wanted to just recognize it. Today is September 30th, International Podcast Day. So, we just ask if you're listening to podcasts, you know, if Major League or any other podcasts are your favorites, you know, maybe go on Apple Podcast, leave a review. That helps. Maybe go and share one of our back episodes that maybe is your favorite rider. So go back, share, tag International Podcast Day and Major League Eventing. We'll share it as well. And, we sure do appreciate it. So happy International Podcast Day, everybody. And Karen.
Yes.
We have a really exciting interview with Shelby Burris coming up.
Yes, we do.
But before we do, Shelby's awesome. But before we do, we have a little bit of exciting news to announce.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Drum roll, Karen. What do we got, Karen?
We're going to have a Major League Eventing wine mixer.
Wine mixer. Heyo.
Heyo. On October 17th,
yep.
4 to 8 p.m. at the Paradox Vineyard in Landenburg, PA.
Yes, yes. So hopefully we can get around to other parts of the country and do things like this.
Yes, that would be fun.
So we are going to have, we have some pretty cool things lined up, Karen. So we're going to have, we're going to this is obviously for fun so people can get out without the shows. People haven't been able to get around and see their friends. So some of the restrictions are lightening up a little bit. So we thought, you know, it's a good time to get together, those who feel comfortable, and get together and socialize and also raise a little bit of money for some great causes. So Paradox Vineyard is a local vineyard. Small business. So we like to help those guys out. They're going to donate 10% of all proceeds of bottle sales back to the Major League of Any charity, which we're going to mention here in a moment.
Yes.
Suspense. Oh, what the heck, Karen? Might as well say the beneficiaries are who? What's the beneficiaries of this thing, Karen?
It is the USEA Area 2 Young Riders.
Yes, USEA Area 2 Young Riders. So what we're going to do is we're going to have that we're going to couple those wine bottle and can sales, because they sell cool little paint cans.
Yeah, paint cans, really cool. Yeah.
Their wine's fantastic. As well as we're going to have a 50-50, and we're going to have some sort of raffle of some sort. We're not sure exactly we're going to figure that out, but we had some pretty cool things so far. Mm-hmm. So who's donated so far? What do we got here?
So far, we have Correct Connect.
Correct Connect. We're going to have a set of those things.
Yes, we have Red and Goat is going to send a gift certificate.
Yeah, and Connie and Allison are going to be there too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have a Frankie Cameron bag.
Frankie Cameron from Frankie and Terry at Stutes.
Yes.
Of course.
And of course, she's also going to send a bag for from Athletics.
Yeah, and maybe even some other stuff. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. We're sure we're getting some more donations coming in. So come on out. Now, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
COVID-19 disclaimer, Karen.
Yeah.
Paradox Vineyard. It's a legit open up winery.
We will be outside.
We're going to be outside in the garden, Karen.
Yes.
It's going to be beautiful. We're going to have our tent set up. Everyone's going to be able to be socially distanced and be safe. If you don't feel comfortable, we understand. We all have our different degrees of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel comfortable, we understand. Feel free to stay home. This isn't, you know, we understand that this isn't for everybody. However, if you feel well that day and you're in the mood to, you know, drink a little bit of wine, maybe some beer, have some snacks, we invite you to come on out. So all Pennsylvania and local COVID-19 regulations are in place. Mm-hmm. So any questions, you know, we can keep up on that. And there's no ticketing or anything like that. So if you're feeling great that day and you want to come, come on out. We would love to see you. Love to meet you. And we're just going to have a great day, Karen.
And if you do come, we're asking everyone to bring a non-perishable food item.
Delaware Food Bank is who we're going to take all these proceeds to. So so again, we have USEA Area 2 Young Rider Program, and the Food Bank of Delaware is going to receive anything. Because, you know, there are a lot of families out there that are hurting, Karen, that we're going into the holidays. So yet another reason why we wanted to have this. you know, we want to try to help give back to people that, that we can. So we hope that we can see you there. And we thank you to everyone who's already donated to items that we can help raise some funds. And if you're out there and you have some items you want to donate, hit us up. So we look forward to seeing you. That is October 17th from 48 at Paradox Vineyard. Check out our social medias for all the details. And now, back to our regular scheduled program, Karen. And as usual, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Mane & Tail, Karen. We love Mane & Tail.
We love Mane & Tail.
We absolutely love Mane & Tail. You know who else loves Mane & Tail, Karen?
Caroline Martin.
Caroline Martin. Caroline is on with us.
I think I'm the number one fan, to be honest, guys. I swear, I've been using the product since I was 7 years old. And they're actually a local company where I live in Pennsylvania. So they really have a special place in my heart. And people would not believe the amount of products they make. You know, you always think Mane & Tail, the shampoo and conditioner. Well, they make detangler. They make this killer shine-on spray that makes a horse's coat look amazing. They have spray and braid. They have everything. You don't have to go anywhere else to buy products. They're affordable. They're a family-run company. Like, and they're just the nicest group of people. So I could not think of a better company to go out and support. So if you have a horse, please only buy Mane & Tail. They're just, they go above and beyond, and they give back so much to the community. So they're honestly the best company I've ever worked with. So
we love them.
Yeah, we love them.
And
too.
That's all I use.
Yep. That's all we
use. That's what gives me my shine in my hair. So
Caroline, do you use it in your own hair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
I use it in your own hair. All right.
Even our dogs use it.
Even our dogs, absolutely. Well, we have one dog with really bad hair, Caroline, so he uses the Protec line stuff because he has bad coat. So it fixes him right up. Yep. So
see, just another benefit of Mane & Tail. They make anything you need. So
absolutely,
and nothing would test, nothing would drug test. They just go above and beyond.
They are the best. So, all right. Well, thanks a lot, Mane & Tail, and thank you, Caroline, for joining us for that little spot.
Absolutely.
At Buckeye Nutrition, our mission is to make the world a better place for horses. And we do that by keeping three very important things in mind. First, we focus 100% on horses. If it isn't good for a horse, it doesn't enter the feed mill. Second, every single ingredient that we use is 100% traceable back to the source. We can tell where an ingredient came from, what truck it arrived on, the exact bag it went into, and which dealer received the finished product. Third, and maybe the most important, our feed mill is 100% medication-free. That means no deadly ionophores even stand a chance of contaminating our feed because they aren't allowed in the mill, on the trucks that deliver our ingredients, or ship our feed. Isn't your horse's health and safety worth everything? If so, click on BuckeyeNutrition.com to learn more. Buckeye Nutrition, making the world a better place for horses.
Karen, we have another reviewer of the week.
Oh, good.
Who do we got there?
We have JTL54.
Awesome.
And they say, I listen to many horse radio podcasts, and by far, yours is the best.
Nice.
Karen O'Connor is still the one that stays with me as riveting. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
5-star review.
Oh, hey, yeah.
We love it. Super. So thank you so much for that. And if anyone at home also would like to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, we sure would appreciate it. And we'll read it on the show. So thank you so much, Karen. Is that great?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, JTL54. Red & Goat is not just for winter anymore. The Red & Goat rain gear is here. Order yours today by clicking the link in the show notes or go to redandgoatequestrian.com.
Taylor Harris Insurance Services. There for all equestrians, amateur and the professional, for all types and all breeds, no matter what discipline or level, Taylor Harris is committed to excellence in serving you and protecting the horses you love. Taylor Harris Insurance Services, your worldwide equine insurance specialists.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Rob. Karen! Another exciting
episode
of the Major League Vineyard Podcast. Today we have one of our, we love Canadians, Karen.
Yes, we do. We
so
sure do.
We have a Canadian 4-star rider. She's young, but she's mighty, Karen.
Yes, she is.
Welcome to the show. Shelby Brost, welcome to the show.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is awesome. Very exciting. We've been watching you for years, and we finally got her on the show, Karen.
Yeah.
It's exciting. We were joking around. We were all just at Plantation, but we don't know you, and we didn't see you. So I went to the man, David O'Connor, and said, David, you're coaching this young lady. Could you put a word in for us? So,
and here she is.
And here she is.
I'm happy to be here. I'm excited.
I'm sure David's like, what the hell? I'm the Olympic gold medalist here. Don't go asking me about my students.
Oh, he already had his time to shine. Yeah, he has. It's Shelby's turn.
That's it. It's Hey, Shelby, so you're coming to us by Zoom, so we're not in the same room with you. Where are you coming to us from?
I'm currently in Middleburg, Virginia.
Middleburg.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get to Middleburg, Karen.
Yeah, we do. Sounds nice.
It does sound nice. We're making friends in Middleburg, so we're going to come visit.
Watch out.
One day we'll be showing up.
Yeah. It's great. There's lots to see and lots of hills.
Yeah.
I bet.
The hill work. Yeah. Hill work's good there.
So, Shelby, can you tell us your story, how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yeah. So I kind of always had a very competitive family and played every sport when I was younger. And one of my good friends, she started riding horses, and I kind of was like, okay, well, I've never tried riding horses, so we'll give this sport a try. And obviously always loved horses. My grandma had horses on her farm growing up, but never really took lessons. And I started with a trainer where I'm from in Alberta, Canada. Her name is Brenda Thompson. And started just doing low-level hunter jumpers. It's what all of her kids had to do before they started eventing. And her daughter actually went to Young Riders, and that's when I found out about eventing and the whole Young Rider dream. And ever since I found out about Young Riders, I put that in my brain to have that as a goal and kind of work towards that. It was probably in the fifth grade, so my family doesn't do horses and kind of started a little bit late, but yeah, that was the goal, was Young Riders from the start.
Well, you eventually got there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went twice, so I was pretty lucky to be able to do that.
And you won the bronze, right?
Yeah. Bronze the first year in the old one star, and then won the next year in the old two star, I guess.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Take a bronze and gold.
Yeah.
Gold when it counted, though, Karen. Gold when it counted. When it really counted.
Yes.
When you want to go for the big one.
This is a special year, that's for sure.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. So how did you get to that part? So we went from fifth grade straight to Young Riders. Like, did you stay in Canada and train with her the whole time? How did you get to that point?
Yeah, so I was training in Canada, and then eventually got to the point where I sort of approached my trainer and was wanting to do the working student thing. So when I was 15, I packed up to California for 6 months and worked for Holly Bennett. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity because she kind of showed me my first steps towards the upper levels and what that world is like. Once that 6 months was over, I went home and did a little bit of school and got in contact with Kyle Carter, who was the Area 3 Young Rider coach and also Canadian. So I decided to kind of go down and train with him, and he took me on and took me to both my Young Rider years. So,
wow.
Yeah.
He was a very successful Young Rider coach.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's great. He is the best Young Rider coach out there.
Yeah, yeah. He probably might be the most winningest Young Rider coach. I know he's very proud of his Young Rider accomplishments.
Yeah, he loves it. He's great for the job.
So,
I mean, he brought me to a lot of success for my Young Rider years, so yeah. I'm grateful for that.
So after your time with Kyle, where did you, and are you going to like online school this whole time, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I did my last 2 years of online school. So
Wow. That's
when I was in Florida. So yeah, I finished up high school online just so I was able to be in Florida and riding. And yeah, after Kyle's, I went to Clayton's for a little bit, Clayton Fredericks. And now I'm here with the O'Connors.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Man, do you mind if I ask how old you are now?
I'm 22.
22?
Wow.
All that success at 22. Holy smokes. Do you miss that you didn't go to school? Like, you know, for a lot of people that go homeschool and things like that, like, do you regret that you didn't go to school? Are you happy you chose that route?
I think that because riding was such a driven goal in sort of my whole life. I didn't really miss out on going to school. I still have a lot of friends from back home. For the years that I did go to high school, I still keep in contact with them. But yeah, when you just are so dedicated to riding, it doesn't really feel like you're missing out on a whole lot, or you're sacrificing school to be in Florida riding horses.
Yeah. I could have gone for that, Karen.
Me too.
Well, we asked that question just because, you know, everyone has different different pathways, you know, and some people do it. Some people go to school, some people online, some people stay and finish and do college and all that stuff. So when did you go over to the O'Connors, and how long have you been there?
It'll be 2 years in December. So it'd be, what was the second part of the question? Sorry.
I don't know. Like how long you've been there. That's all. I think that was it. Right?
Yeah.
How long you've been there, and how did you transition there? Was it when David started working with Canada, or how did that work?
Yeah. I was named to the high performance squad in 2019 was my first year. And I started taking lessons with David, and the way that he understood my mare was really, really special. And he liked her from the moment that he saw her. So that meant a lot to me. And I just knew that his training style and his appreciation for my horse, it was just something that I really took to, and asked him to take me under his wing. And luckily he said yes. And yeah, it's been a dream ever since. I'm really grateful that he accepted me into their program.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Are you a working student, or are you a client, or like?
Yeah, I'm a working student for Karen and David. So
wow.
They're every day, all day.
And what's that like? What's that lifestyle like? We were talking a little bit about it before the interview started. What can you tell us, take us through like your day in the life of a working student at the O'Connors?
It's pretty fun for the most part. I love it here. It's a nice small program. We're kind of like a big family. Like we have dinners together, and Karen and David really look out for us like we're their kids. And we have a smaller program here in Virginia because we have less stalls, but in Florida, the O'Connors have a couple baby horses. So we have a couple more horses to ride during the day, which is nice because it keeps us busy. But for the most part, it's pretty small, close knit, and just very focused on each individual horse.
Gotcha. And what time's like the day start, and what time's it end there?
It's when it's hot, we're starting at 6, but we're switching over to the 7 a.m. start time, which will be nice to get that extra hour of sleep.
Gotcha. Nice. I bet.
That's awesome. And then you and the whole, all the horses, everyone heads down to Ocala how long do you spend in Ocala in the winter?
It ends up being about 6 months and 6 months.
Wow.
That sounds ideal.
It does.
That sounds good. I need to get that gig.
Do they have a working student position available for this one?
You're more than welcome to come down. It's a great place.
I'd do some mucking. I'm a good mucker. That's about all I'm good for. I can mix a pretty good drink, you know.
Yeah, you can.
So,
yeah,
muck stalls, mix drinks at night.
Mixed drinks.
Yep. You can make our next dinner party.
There we go. So now, and you're named to, you were on like Canada's No Boundaries list, and now you're on the actual high performance list. Can you tell us a little bit about being named on both lists, and what the difference is between the two?
The No Boundaries list. I can't remember which year it was.
2016,
2017. Yeah, there you go. So that's kind of for the young riders coming up to get them recognized and just start to get them into the program and have selectors and members of Equestrian Canada have eyes on you. So that was a really great opportunity for me in the young rider years. And I think now that I'm starting to ride at the upper levels and hoping to ride on a team one day, that would be my biggest goal that I have. That's where the high performance squad comes into play.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And is David the head coach for all that as well?
Yeah. Yeah. He, we have training sessions during the winter, at the O'Connor's place. And so everybody trailers in there, and we kind of have 2 days of dressage and then show jumping the next day.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
man. So you're right there all the time with the head coach. That's where it's at. Right
yeah, I know.
Yeah, pretty lucky.
You know, and it's weird. Like, we've talked to a lot of people who David coaches, and they all love him. Like, mm-hmm. Charlotte Collier was on, and she talks about how much she loves training with David and Karen, and it's a pretty awesome program.
He just has another way with horses that you don't see very often. It's really quite interesting to watch him work with the horses. He kind of doesn't have to say a whole lot, but he gets it across, and it's just really remarkable to watch.
Does he hop on your horses much, or is it everything him just telling you what he wants you to do?
Yeah, actually, my first lesson with him during training sessions in 2019, I think it was, he rode my mare Crimson, and I think he kind of got a further sense of appreciation for her at that point. But he'll ride them occasionally, but he definitely coaches from the ground. He wants you to figure it out and find the feel for yourself.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And tell us about your horses. So you mentioned Crimson, and then you have your pepperoni horse. You tell us about these horses.
Yeah. Crimson. I've had her for over 5 years now. She's the one that I kind of bought to go to Young Riders. We purchased her, had her sent to Kyle's place. I finished up school and met her there at Kyle's place, and kind of had 4 or 5 months to get ready for Young Riders, and then went on from there. But she took me to my first 4-star and is the most special thing to me. She's a really, really cool little horse. And then the new horse I got, his show name's RHF Peterzano. I got from Sarah Millider, and I got him mid-July, and I think he's going to be really, really, really cool in the future. He'll be perfect kind of team horse, because he's just really, really solid in all three phases. He's just a treat all around. Like, he never steps a foot wrong. He wouldn't hurt a fly. He's just very workmanlike, easygoing, kind of tell him what to do, and he doesn't argue at all. Like, he's a really, really good boy.
Yeah. We got to see him go in Plantation. Yes. And
yeah, very nice horse.
Pretty solid. Very nice work. Lucky you. I wish that horse would have stayed in America.
I know. Sarah wasn't, I don't think she was planning on selling him. So I kind of snuck in there, and I'm very, very lucky to have him. He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We had Sarah on just before you made that purchase. I remember when he was for sale, and I remember just seeing on like Facebook or something, and you were looking for shipping all of a sudden. Like, I remember the whole thing. And I was like, man, that is a nice horse, man. Sure. Holy smokes. And
funny story, someone actually sent me his ad, and I would have never noticed his ad because I was not really looking for a horse of that caliber. And she sent it to me and was like, this horse is perfect for you. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll look at the ad. I looked at the ad and I was like, oh, yeah, I need to go try this horse. It was so funny because I haven't spoken to this lady in quite some time. And she just randomly messaged me out of the blue and was like, you need to go see this horse. So
it was meant to be.
And where does Pepperoni come from? Did he come with that name?
Yeah, she said that they called him Pepperoni because he can be a little bit spicy at times. Yeah.
So that's funny.
Spicy Pepperoni. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's now, do you guys own him outright? Has he got owners, or how does that work?
Yeah, we, the deal I put together with my parents actually was in order to own this horse was to eventually find a group of people to purchase shares in him. So we formed the syndicate for him, and we're avidly looking for people to own part of this horse that I think is going to go really far and hopefully be on teams for Canada and just represent Canada really well.
Yeah. Now, how old is he?
Yeah, so Pepperoni, he's 8.
Oh, perfect age, Karen. Perfect. Holy smokes. Yeah. And what level is he going right now?
He just did his first FEI at Great Meadow. So he's kind of running the prelim 2-star level. We'll finish up the year at that and then hopefully move him up beginning of next year.
Wow. Man. Mm-hmm. Get a little. Yeah, here we go. Here's the slogan. Get a slice of pepperoni, right? There you go. Get a slice of pepperoni.
There you go.
You too can own a slice of pepperoni.
There really is nothing better than pepperoni pizza. So.
But I think that's fantastic. Hopefully, hopefully people can hear this and maybe they get interested in checking him out. As we saw him, he's very, very special. Very, very
special. The videos, pictures. He's nice.
Yeah. So along with that, now, are you, you're a working student for the O'Connors. Are you, are you 100% just working for them, or do you ever venture out and do any of your own stuff to try to, you know, do you do any lessons or any training on the side or anything like that?
Yeah. I have gotten a really keen interest in teaching. So when I'm back in Florida, the Gainesville Pony Club have been really, really good to me. They there's a couple kids there that take lessons. I'm looking to expand on that. I've been really focused on my riding and working for the O'Connors, and I would love to kind of find my way in this world and start to make an income and kind of focus on the teaching and maybe do some training horses and just start to build an income and make a job of this.
Yeah. That's the hard part, you know, we have a son that's a little, just a little younger than you, but it's the same type of thing. It's hard. It's hard when you're in that, you know, young age and you're trying to, you know, you still have a lot to learn, but you have to start making an income.
Yeah.
And so it is a perfect, Pony Club is a perfect way to start teaching and stuff like that. Did you Pony Club at all? Did you do Pony Club?
I did not do Pony Club. It was, I think it was a little bit far from where I lived at home, but the program that I started with was very much run like a Pony Club. So I learned so much about horse care and just the basics. And yeah, I think about it all the time. I'm really grateful for the good foundation that my first coach kind of laid down for me.
Yeah. You know, I'm listening to your story and I think that it's interesting too, that like you followed, you know, Holly Bennett, who's Canadian, and Kyle, who's Canadian. So I think it's kind of cool that like you really stuck with your Canadian, you know, people there. And maybe, you never know, you might be on teams with those guys someday. It won't be, you know, you're on the high performance list.
They say you need to surround yourself with people that you kind of look up to and want to be like one day. And they're amazing riders and have ridden on teams. So, I mean, I learned a lot from them.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll follow in their footsteps.
Wow. How long were you said you were with Kyle for 2 years as well? Is that right?
Yeah, it must have been just over 2 years.
Gotcha. And then Clayton. Yeah. Clayton's a crazy guy. Yeah. Clayton's wild. That's my buddy. So they've all been guests on the show too.
Yes,
so
yes, we, they have. You know, yep. All good
people.
All of them.
So highly recommend them all.
Kim. Yes.
Kyle tried to come on and start trouble, but you know.
Oh.
That's just Kyle's way.
Not surprised whatsoever.
That's funny. No, he's
always willing to chat me up at a show and ask how my mare is doing. So
yeah, that's good. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Very, very good guy.
Yeah. All right. So Shelby, we're going to play quick fire questions.
Quick fire questions.
Perfect. Let's go.
All right. Oh, you've heard the show, weird. So you should, you know, you should be prepared.
Oh no!
I'm in for it. Karen makes it extra hard for Canadians. I just want to let you know she's no mercy. Oh,
God. That's not true. All right. So, favorite rider growing up.
You can't go wrong with a classic like Andrew Nicholson, but I do have to say I have been mildly obsessed with Tim Price for as long as I can remember. I think I've seen every video of him on the internet riding. So yeah, definitely. I think Tim Price would have to be number one.
Tim Price. That's excellent answer.
Yeah, that's an excellent answer. Can't go wrong with that.
No one's going to shun you for that answer for sure.
All right. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you go cross country?
So I might regret saying this, but I start the show weekend with a certain pair of socks. It doesn't matter which pair of socks. And if I have a good first ride with those socks, I don't change them for the whole weekend.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, them dogs be woofing, Karen, buddy.
Yikes.
Ooh. Note to self. If you had a good weekend,
stay away.
Stay away.
Or at least keep your shoes on.
Definitely don't come near me on Sunday or smell my feet.
Excellent answer. I love that answer.
That is a good answer. Yeah. If you could not be an eventer, what other discipline would you want to try?
You know, I watch a lot of show jumping. The magnitude of the jumping that they do at the highest level is just mind-boggling. Yeah. So I think that would be really, really cool.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good answer.
Yep. All right.
Knocking out of the park so far.
Yeah, I know, right?
Excellent answers. All right.
Favorite event to compete at?
I think Bromont. Yeah. I seem to have good luck at Bromont, and everything is just superb at Bromont, whether it be dressage or show jumping in that big ring. And the course is always so much fun at Bromont. So,
yeah.
And I mean, it's Canadian too. So,
it's Canadian, eh? It's good stuff.
Can't go wrong there.
We do thoroughly enjoy Canada.
Yeah.
And Bromont's excellent.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Bromont.
Yeah.
You got to go for the poutine.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we tell people, is that in? Or did you,
no, there's one more question.
All right, we'll keep going.
All right.
I tend to get it off the rails. It's my fault.
All right, last question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
David might get really mad that I don't say custom made, but... Okay, so custom made is number one, but if I had to pick another... It would have to be Norayo.
Ooh.
Always really liked that horse. Yeah.
We've been getting a lot of Norayos.
Yes, we have. We have.
That is a very popular answer, and for good reason. Yeah. Custom.
Yeah, can't go wrong with that one. That's a good answer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Karen.
Oh, A++.
A++. You knocked it out of the park. Look at you. She won, Karen.
She won.
Natural winner.
I mean, I was a little bit nervous when you said you were going to make it harder for the Canadian.
He likes to say that.
I like to build up the drama. I like to, you know, get the guests on our heels a little bit before we start.
Just a little.
the Canada, we go to Bromont, and I try to like acclimate myself to where I'm at. So I go in the restaurant and I say bonjour. And next thing you know, they think I know how to speak French. And I'm and then it's all downhill. Then it's like they start talking, and I'm like, then I have to, like, I feel so defeated because I'm like, nah, give me the English menu. Like,
don't look at me. I don't know any French. So I'm kind of a fake Canadian, I guess.
Really?
We were pretty good in Bromont. When we were leaving Bromont, we stopped at a gas station, and the gas station had an A&W root beer, like, fast food restaurant, and it was all in French.
Yeah.
And we tried to order something from there, and I don't know if they just didn't want to help us or what, but we were doing the old, like, point at the menu and just hope that, like, what was in the bag was not anything near what we ordered, but we were like, whatever.
Oh, well, I promise not all Canada is not French, so.
Yeah, I just don't think that they were looking at each other like they couldn't understand us and we couldn't understand them. And it was like, I think they were messing around. They all speak English up there.
Yeah.
They just were like, ah, get these.
But we were starving, so food was food. We didn't care.
You got to get the Google Translator out.
That's right.
But it is beautiful.
It is.
And the course is, it is great. And we're so sad we missed it this year. And, you know, this is a sucky year.
Next year.
We'll see you out there next year for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, you changed it up.
Karen Sorry.
Changed things
I,
up
I changed it up on him. That's she why he was kind of like quiet.
That's why we edit this stuff, Karen. So, so hey, young people out there are listening to you, and you've been around and you've actually have so much experience. Like, what type of advice would you have for that young person that's trying to kind of get up in the sport?
I think the biggest thing that comes to mind is the fact that you don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. So in other words, you look at successful riders, who have the best results, in the world. They're less about the result and more about the habits that they've put in place, in order to achieve those results. So, you kind of need to be your own biggest competition and push yourself to be the best you can be every single day. Every day that you improve, that's when the transformation and the top results will happen.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah, excellent advice.
Now, how about also just another question as far as advice goes. Now, you reached out to Holly Bennett and Kyle Carter and Clayton. How did like for someone who, like you said, you didn't come from like a horse background, but like from a horsey family, but how was that experience of reaching out to, like, let's say Holly, your very first person to like kind of reach out to and go visit? How did you make the contact, and like, do you have any tips for anyone that wants to try to reach out to a rider that wants to learn more?
I think just setting yourself apart and just being very methodical on your goals and how you approach someone of that caliber, just not being someone one of millions of emails I'm sure that they get, just really putting forward what you intend on doing, working for them, and what you intend on doing with your career in the next couple of years or down the road, what your biggest dreams and goals are. But a lot of them are really willing to help. And I think it's just putting yourself out there and being a friendly face and being professional, even though you're a young rider, is something that they really appreciate.
Yeah. Amen to that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. And one more question about, so you're on the high performance squad. So, you know, so 2021 will be the 2020 Olympics, and then boom, everything just, the whole rotation starts again right away because there's no off year. Are we thinking Pan Am WEG possibilities, and what's on the horizon? What do you think is possible here soon?
Yeah, I kind of had the 2020 Olympics as a goal since I first started taking lessons. Actually, we kind of had a little dream journal and future goals. And I kind of mapped it out in my head. If I do advanced at this age and this at this age, the 2020 is going to be achievable. And unfortunately, a couple bumps in the road, and that wasn't going to be the plan for me anymore. So even though I had it totally thought out and thought that I had it in the bag for 5+ years, that just didn't happen. So I think that I'm really just enjoying the process of bringing up Pepperoni, and I think he's going to be an incredible team horse one day. So I'm really hoping, I'm looking forward to aiming for the Pan Ams, the next Pan Ams, and hopefully the Olympics. I think he's fully capable of that. But in the meantime, I'm just really, really enjoying this incredible class horse that I get the opportunity to ride every day.
Man, that's awesome. Mm. Do you still journal?
Yeah, I'm big on lists and just documenting progress, because I think it's really easy to kind of feel like you're not going anywhere and kind of get down in a rut. But looking back on all the successes and the failures, it's just brought me to truly where I am. And it's really nice to look back. And even though some of it wasn't very happy moments, it all kind of turned out for a reason. So it's nice to look back on that and just appreciate it.
Wow. That's really cool. I don't journal, but I know a lot of people that do, and a lot of very successful people do. So I think that's really cool. And actually, I don't know, I'm a little envious that you do that. I think that's awesome. When you say that, I perk up, because I think, man, that's so cool. Yeah. It's no wonder at 22, you're so successful, you know, if you journal and you set a goal and if you put it in writing. And I think
I try my very hardest.
How many books do you have stacked up?
Oh gosh, probably 8 in my room right now.
Wow.
8 old journals.
Yeah. Wow. Remembering the little things is just really important.
Gotcha. How about your folks? Are they able to come and visit or watch you at shows much coming in from Canada? Or
yeah, they're the best. They're super, super supportive. They love to come cheer me on. I think my mom might get a little bit less excited for the cross country portion. but they're the best supporters, and they come down whenever they can. But obviously with the quarantine, COVID, everything, it's just been a little bit more difficult for them to come down this year.
Right. Yeah.
I would imagine having Canadian parents, they would visit a lot when you're in Ocala in the winter. Ocala would be.
They're definitely not big fans of the heat during the summer. They like to stay away in Canada in the summer, but in the winter, they're happy to come down whenever they get the chance. That's for sure.
That's nice. That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
So. So Shelby, as we wind things down, we always like to give a shout out to your sponsors and your supporters. So can you tell us who you have on your team?
Obviously David and Karen O'Connor, they have really taken me out of my shell and transformed me the last 2 years. And I'm forever grateful for that. Obviously my parents, like I mentioned, wouldn't be here without them. I might be biased, but I think they're the best parents out there. And as for sponsors, I have, Animo. They're the best clothing company out there. I've done my research and tried a lot of clothing, and Animo is just bar none the best out there. Segme, they supply all my tack. They're the best. Again, done a lot of research. I only kind of have sponsors on my list that I really, really stand behind wholeheartedly. And Segme, they're amazing. Flair, they've been a longtime supporter. Eco Gold as well. They've supported me since my Young Rider days. Same with Auburn Laboratories, longtime supporter. They have APF. De La Cour Bonnets, MDC Stirrups, and Ecolicious are my list of sponsors that I would like to thank for standing by me and keeping the show on the road. So,
top quality list,
yes,
Karen.
Yes, it is.
Eco Gold, Canadian company.
Yeah. Patricia with Eco Gold, she's great. I've known her for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Good person. Yeah. Good person for sure.
And how do our listeners follow along, especially if anyone wants to get a hold of you to get a slice of pepperoni?
Yeah, that would be great. I have an Instagram. It's just Shelby_Brost. And my Facebook page is Shelby Brost Equestrian. And that's pretty much it. You can find all my contact info on my Facebook page or on my Instagram. Oh, yeah, and my website, sorry, is shelbybrostequestrian.com.
Very nice website, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at it today.
Very well done.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Who built that for you? Did you build that yourself? Or?
Athletics originally built it, and I've been kind of doing the upkeep on it and doing some changes.
Gotcha.
So dabbling in the world of technology, which is always a fun task to do. It's a little complicated, but yeah, it's fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Karen, this is fantastic.
This was great.
Shelby, we're just so excited for you. You know, you're doing everything right. You're working hard. You're with the right team.
Man, yeah, thank you.
It's exciting, Karen. It's fun. We're talking to, and then it won't be long. We'll have you back on. You'll be showing us your medals, you know. It'll be awesome.
I would love that. Yeah. I'm hoping in the future I'll have some medals to show for it. But yeah, just keep working hard and loving what I'm doing every day. Yeah, I can't say that I'm lucky enough. I'm just, yeah, really grateful.
Yeah. And when, hopefully, I feel bad at Plantation. We never got to say hello. So hopefully we get to say hello in person next time we're around.
I know. Meet you guys in person and put some faces instead of just behind the computer. That would be great.
Yes.
And Karen, she is very well turned out. She's a nice show coats stuff. Very snazzy dresser. So when you said you dress well,
thank you.
I've seen it. So awesome. Well, what do you think, Karen?
This has been
fantastic, right?
Yeah, great.
So Shelby, thank you so much for joining us. This is great.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Thank you.
Taylor Harris Insurance Services. There for all equestrians, amateur and the professional. For all types and all breeds. No matter what discipline or level, Taylor Harris is committed to excellence in serving you and protecting the horses you love. Taylor Harris Insurance Services, your worldwide equine insurance specialists.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or your favorite podcast app. Cheers!